Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Adventures in New America. We're taking a brief break from our story to present the first installment of The Trent Finneu Show. The show's creators would like to caution you that this episode contains a graphic description of sex work performed by a minor. If you think this might upset you, feel free to turn off the show now. The good news is you won't miss any of our continuing story about I.A., Simon, and the tetchy terrorist vampire zombies. We hope you enjoy The Trent Finneu Show.
Haven't you got a vase?
You're on live.
Oh, hi. Hi, how are you? I hope you're well. I know I am. This is the Trent Finneu's chat show. Welcome to it. I'm Trent Finneu's. How are you?
They can't tell you.
Well, they can let us know on the Twitter.
Okay.
They can write to us on the Twitter. We have Susie on the Twitter, the loveliest of the Twitter getters. Hi, Susie.
Thanks.
You want to say anything to everyone, Susie?
Hello.
What are the numbers like?
We just started.
Sure, but...
You told us not to tell you the numbers anymore.
Well, sure, but... Oh, okay, right, all right.
You said...
I know I did. I'm a sensitive flower. You know me. Now, let's move on. Next week, there's no show because it's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
What are you going to do?
Birthday things.
If people are listening, those are people that want to know.
I'm going up to the cabin with the wife.
So no party?
That is a party. I'm just standing in my truth here.
Gonna do some ice fishing?
Is that a euphemism for something we shouldn't talk about on this podcast? Really?
They've started.
Excuse me?
People have started to listen. We've got some listeners now.
Some listeners?
Who's on the show next week?
Oh, yeah. No, next week is my birthday, so there is no show. But if you want to send birthday presents, you can send that right along to Trent, P.O. Box 247, New York, New York, 10272.
I got you something.
You got me something?
I got you something. I'll give it to you after the show.
Thanks. You want to give it to me now?
I'll give it to you after the show. It's personal.
All right then. Well, the week after that, we got Imali Bustain, creator of the sleeper hit of the summer, The Spring Break Files.
We have to go to commercial.
Right now?
Sorry.
But we haven't done anything good yet.
Hey, what are you doing tonight? You want to get a bite together, you and me? How about something different? How about Poke Bowls? Stop over at Pig in a Poke tonight after work and pick up one of those 12 different Poke Bowls, some containing kale and hot dogs and things, just $10 for a drink after 5 p.m.
We call it Poke Hour Power Hour.
Pokey Hour Power Hour! Only at Pig in a Pokey at the corner of Vesey and William Street, downtown Manhattan.
Come on down. We'll be waiting for you.
We're back.
Hey, we are back here on the Trent Finneu Show. Woo!
You should do the disclaimer first.
I'm going to. Okay. You see, there's a show on this channel called Adventures in New America that usually broadcasts at this time.
I love it.
What?
I love Adventures in New America. It's fun. It's fun to listen to. It makes me feel safe.
I am also a fan. Here, I'll just read the card. Due to unforeseen scheduling errors, Adventures in New America will not run this week. Night Vale presents Network's number one sci-fi fantasy Afrofuture blah, blah, blah. I just keep love how they keep pushing this thing as like some kind of Afrofuturistic or whatever. Like that isn't even a thing. I mean, what does it matter what your hair is on the radio? You can't see hair on the radio.
What's the short of it?
Did you just say what's the short of it?
Yeah.
What, are you in the mob now?
What do you mean?
The short of it.
It's a perfectly ordinary phrase. I don't think you want to spend too much time lingering here.
Oh. The short of it is, they are going to continue their serial story thing in 2 weeks. And since they weren't using the slot, the network let us have it. So I'd like to welcome all you adventurers to the Trent Finneu Show. Yes! Trent Finneu's. Fashion and celebrities and things. If you like our show, keep listening. Normally, we're on an hour after Adventures in New America, but the important thing is you're not going to hear any of that vampire zombie story this week, so if that's all you want, go ahead and turn it off. We're not trying to hoodwink you. Turn your radio off. What are the numbers like now?
You said not to tell you.
Well, can you tell me if people are turning the radios off?
A few. It's hard to tell. It doesn't really show me that information.
I told you the disclaimer was a bad idea.
People like to listen to people who sound like they're having fun.
Today on the Trent Finneu Show, fashion, celebrities, and things.
That's better.
That's you like better. That? How are the numbers now? Okay. Today on the Trent Finneu Show, we have a very special guest. Now, for many of us, it's hard to imagine a world without him. He's just always been there. Born in a hill country to a poor but proud family, our guest sued that same poor but proud family for emancipation and eventually moved to New York City, where he was a chorus boy in many of the hit shows your grandparents saw.
Grandpappy.
What?
Nothing, sorry.
Well, at 25 years of age, he retired from the stage and disappeared from the public eye for 35 years, when he was suddenly appointed Minister of Public Safety by President Sulla. Now, for 6 years, he was the driving force behind a number of policies that have fundamentally changed the face of New America, not least of which were the amputee protocols. Not least of which.
I know, just keep going.
After President Sulla was executed in disgrace, our guest became the new president of New America. Ladies and germs, I'm so excited to welcome to the show, President Winston Trace! Woohoo!
Hello, Trent.
This is a big moment for me.
Nonsense.
No, come on. Not only are you the president of New America, you're the man who invented the Half-Master. Your good neighborhood initiatives led to legalization of Be Happier. And you were in my favorite holiday musical movie, Fumbles on the Town.
We're just two new friends having a nice chat.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, I'm looking at my note cards and I'm thinking, maybe I should just throw these away. You know, let's just chat.
If you like, I have to say, I listened to the show before agreeing to appear and you were very much taller than I thought you would be.
Thanks. What, are you saying I sound short?
Not at all. You're very tall. How tall are you? 6'8"? 6'9"?
I am 6'6¼".
Very, very tall. People gravitate towards the tall.
It makes them feel safe.
Not everybody, of course. Some people react against the tall. They want everyone shorter because they want to feel like they are more in control of the situation. But still, underneath their reaction, there is a power of height.
My ex-wife was 5'4", and she definitely had control issues.
That was your first wife?
Oh, my second wife. My first wife was, well, my first marriage lasted 5 days.
That sounds like a story.
Not really. We met on one of those celebrity cruises, and I was emceeing, and I had just ended a 5-year, well, I got dumped is what happened, and I got dumped in a way that made me question my worth as a human being. You know how. So I met Phyllis on the cruise, and the captain married us, and everything was great until we got back to port.
What happened then?
Well, it was like our heads cleared. You know, both of our heads. We mutually realized we had done something really, really dumb. So we shook hands and split. Well, we keep in touch a little.
So a happy ending, then.
I don't normally think of it that way, but...
Some people are together for years before they accept they've made an error. You two sussed it out within a week and didn't double down. Sounds like a happy ending to me.
I never, Susie, what am I paying my therapist for? I should just go to you.
I'm sure that's something you already realized. Do you want to go back to the note cards?
No. I mean, we could. Do you have anything that you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about growing up in the hill country?
My family was poor. People forget how different New America was even 50 years ago. Every day I carried 20 pounds of water back and forth across 700 feet from the well to the house. To the house, to the well, to the house. I did that at least 30 times a day. It sucked. I got out.
Well, good for you, man. Quality, not quantity, right? You ever talk to your family?
Well, a lot of them are dead now. But no, I never saw any of them after the day I moved to the city. I was 15.
Oh, 15? And moving to the city on your own? I can't imagine that. I mean, when I was 15, I was living in suburbia, competing in high school debate tournaments.
Your parents were supportive?
Oh, so much. If they wouldn't have been, it couldn't have happened. They bought me suits to wear at the competitions and shoes. They drove us to tournaments. Every Wednesday, they went to the next town over and worked the bingo to help fundraise for the team.
I don't think my experience could have been your experience.
Oh, wow. What did you do for money? I mean, rent is so expensive in the city. How could you afford it at 15?
I couldn't. I slept on the streets for the first week, and then I met a man who took pity on me. In exchange for certain chores, I was provided with a roof over my head, food in my stomach. We lived on the Upper West Side.
Sounds like you were lucky.
I was just remembering it. Lucky, perhaps. I was a sock boy in the poker rooms. You know what that is?
Sock boy? No, never heard of that.
After the blinds raised for the third time, they put me under the table to suck the dicks of whoever was left while they played.
Good Lord!
They could also piss in my mouth so they wouldn't have to leave the table.
This was your first job in the city?
Well, it depends on how you define job. I didn't pay taxes.
You were 15.
It wasn't bad. I got tips. It was better than hauling water back and forth. I mean, as I said, New America was a different place back then. Different values and concerns.
Okay, so Mr. President,
Call me Winston.
Winston, how long were you,
A sock boy? I was a sock boy for 2 years. That's when Brendan, he was my mister, that's when he died. He had a heart attack while he was inside me. I held him firm with my sphincter muscles until he was dead, and then we called the ambulance.
You mean he was raping you?
Well, by today's standards, I guess you call it rape, but we didn't call that rape back then.
I can't believe that.
Well, if I had gone to the cops, they would have just sent me right back to him. Unless they decided to kill all of us and dump us in the river.
Judas!
It's hard to convey what things were like 60 years ago, unless you were there.
That's what my mom always says. Well, did things get better for you after your mister died?
Instantly. There was this boy, Walker. He was older than me, and he had been with Brendan for some time. He knew about everything to provide some continuity. He knew about all the rackets and where the... Anyway, instead of working for Brendan, we were working for ourselves as a family. When I worked the poker tables, I was still getting tips, but also 25% of the rake.
Walker kept you working.
He did. I had a lot of love for Walker, and it's only recently that I've been reexamining that relationship, wondering if I didn't replace abuse with abuse.
Well, you know what they say. Hurt people hurt people. You know that saying only works if you say it right? Or else it's like, hurt people, hurt people, hurt people, hurt people. Well, from what you're describing, sir, it certainly sounds like abuse to me. And
sometimes I wonder if I shouldn't hate him, but also I don't see how any of us could have done anything different than what we did. It's complicated.
We gotta take a break.
We're going to stop here for a moment to give the advertisers a chance to jump right in, but don't go away. We'll be back with the president of New America.
Trend Fin News.
New America, New America, New America. Going off to war, going off the cuff. New America, New America, New America. My new America war bond, and so say all of us. New America war bonds! Available at participating banks.
Every day, almost 1 million animals are murdered by humans for food across the world. 300,000 of those animals are slaughtered locally in subsistence-level agricultural communities in remote locations. Too often in isolated areas, animals will live happier lives than their factory farm counterparts, only to face a cruel death at the end of a dull night. Here in the developed world, we take sharp knives for granted, but this is hardly the case elsewhere, and that's where Knife Flight step in. For only $3 a month, you can help Knife Flights on its mission to fly sharp knives to rural and remote communities so that they butcher their animals more humanly. In addition to helping millions of animals a year die more dignified deaths, Knife Flights will send you our magazine, The Daily Whetstone, once every 2 months. Inside, you will find full-color pictures of the knives we are sending across the world, along with the animals you are saving through your considerate donation. This is internationally recognized musical performer Kwa Lo asking you to take a moment out of your day to secure clean deaths for these innocent animals. Won't you, please?
Oh, we're back here on the Trent Finnhughes Show, and our guest is Winston Trace, president of New America. And before the break, we were talking about when you first moved to the city
Let's move on.
Really?
Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
We have a caller. Do you want to take a call?
Sure.
Caller, you're on with Winston Trace.
Hi, Mr. President. I'd like to know, why did you stop acting?
Oh, thank you, caller. Why did you stop acting? I have to admit, I have the same question. You're so good on the silver screen.
Thank you, both. I appreciate the sentiment. I'm not sure how to answer this. After the police arrested Walker, someone who read about the whole thing in the paper, a wealthy person, contacted us and agreed to pay for my college education. Through those contacts, I was able to get some choral jobs. And shortly after, I started looking for new work, meatier roles.
And there weren't any roles available?
No, there were meaty roles. It wasn't that. When I was 25, I was cast in a proto-feminist stage play about a female surgeon who kidnaps a serial killer and removes his limbs so that he becomes her work of art forever. The writer-director was this older woman from the Outer Rim who had survived, well, everything. You know, not like a shriveled old lady or a shrew, but a very dignified fighter of a woman who'd survived it all, and now she was in New America. We met at her house, and she made cucumber sandwiches without crusts. She had a daughter, 18 years old, and very, very attractive. When the director would leave the room, the daughter would come in and talk to me and act very interested in the things I had to say. Then the mother would come back, and she would leave.
Is she flirting with you?
I don't know. I think so. I don't think it was all in my head. I mean, first, it was a very intense piece involving a lot of metaphysical. When the director and I talked about me, I opened myself up quite a bit. I was vulnerable. I had read that actors were supposed to be vulnerable, so I made myself very vulnerable. And then she took all that personal stuff and she shoved it into her script.
That did she give you credit?
Never.
That must have been upsetting.
Yeah, I was a little upset, but I was still willing to roll along with it. Over time, I started to believe that she was trying, that I was there to impregnate her daughter, and that the child of our union would be a demon seed who would burn the world. So I pulled back a bit from the daughter, and I think the director took offense because then I was fired from the play. The role was recast, the script changed slightly. I didn't think about it much at all until the school shooting last May. One of the children who survived was her grandson, and she was on the news with her grandchild. I couldn't believe it. 50 years later, you can still recognize people. The brain is a fantastic organ. Anyway, she got married to my first ex-wife's agent. They had a kid, and that kid had this kid, blonde hair, blue eyes. I'm looking at the kid, and I'm thinking, is this the child of the one who eats the earth?
What happened to the mother?
The mother of the director or the mother of the grandchild?
The one who eats the earth.
I'm not really sure. The news made no mention. If the kid is being raised by the grandmother, then the one who eats the earth might be dead.
Sure. So what made you think this woman wanted you to impregnate her daughter with demon seed?
Well, Trent, I was on a lot of drugs back then. No painkillers, but everything else.
Is it alcohol? Marijuana? Cocaine? Is it pills? All of it? If you had to name the devil, for you, the biggest devil among them, what's your poison?
Hallucinogens, anything hallucinatory. And everything but the painkillers, but primarily I enjoy hallucinating. I feel more at home in that world than this one. It's a dangerous place, but at least I don't know who I am anymore.
Are you on anything right now?
No, I only smoked a little weed and took a propranolol.
Oh, You have been outspoken about your drug usage.
Sure.
And it was a major issue in the recent election.
Sure, sure, sure.
But Mr. President, given your unabashed drug use, how do you justify enforcing laws that imprison people for their drug use, especially those who hail from the lower social economic climates?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I tend to take the long view when it comes to the mundane. When it comes to all the side threads of our great ontological conversation with time, if you want to go back to the Temple of Inanna, wait, let me just say this directly. There's enormous power in the breaking of taboos. Thousands of years ago, that's why taboos existed, to heighten the sensations and experiences you get when you violate those norms. I mean, you can't have everybody fucking their sisters. Nothing would ever get done. So you make that a taboo. And then if you fuck your sister, well, then that's going to be one intense fuck. And you don't let anyone know. The act becomes selective and gains power.
Have you ever slept with a sister? Or a brother?
I haven't seen my family in 60 years.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Mm.
The same goes with drugs. If it was all legal, it would be no different than taking an aspirin or any other non-taboo drug. But when I smoke crank, knowing that someone out there somewhere died before this crank got to me as a direct result of its taboo nature, it really fires me up. I mean, I'm 78 years old and my cock is still a rock.
Wait. So you're saying that citizens must suffer and have their lives ruined so
you can get hired?
No, not,
no, wait, yes, yeah, well, yes, that is what I'm saying.
Well, don't you think people will have a problem with that?
If they got a problem with it, then they should run for president. Good luck to them.
I mean, to me, it seems wrong to send people to jail when they're just...
Well, they've reformed prison.
That's also a controversial action. What inspired you to make the amputee protocols?
Well, back when I was Minister of Public Safety, we were losing so much money on prison-related expenses, they sent me on a tour of facilities. As a human being, I was mortified. People living in their own shit, abused by other prisoners and their warders. Rape. Lots of rape. If rape is going to be a punishment for a crime, then it should be codified. Those people are wards of the state. The state was responsible for them. And the reason that could never be codified is because it is cruel and unusual punishment. It was the state's responsibility to protect their welfare regardless of previous transgression. And then you have another huge industry where families of convicts, usually poor themselves, are having to spend $10 on a bar of soap for their loved one. My humanity rebelled.
All right, but why cut off their arms?
Well, we don't start at the arms usually. To me, and to a great many new Americans, it seemed far more humane to remove someone's finger than bang them up with a toilet for 25 years. I mean, it's not like anybody wants to lose a finger. Do you want to lose a finger?
No.
What about you?
No, sir.
We take a finger, and then you're free to provide for yourself again. If it happens again, we take another one. The more fingers we take, the harder it is to play video games. Nobody wants that.
I see.
And this goes back to the taboo. Maybe there is a reason to break the law. Maybe there's something you can get out of it. But you gotta really want it if you're gonna risk losing a finger.
Wasn't jail time a risk?
No, jail time was too abstract a risk. It's like when someone says they love you forever. It's just so large a span that you don't have to think about what any of that means. You only think about it after you've been caught and realize you aren't really gonna kill yourself, after all. But a finger, there's a direct link there, and we do it very politely with no pain, which actually makes the experience more impactful. Same thing with executions. If the danger of returning you to society is too great, we execute you very politely, completely painless, no muss, no fuss. There's no lesson in it. It's just something we have to do.
We have another caller.
Let's do it.
Caller, you're on with Winston Trace.
Hi. My question is, what song do you want played at your funeral? I'm going to hang up now and listen to the answer off the air.
Oh, caller, before you go, what song would you want played at your funeral?
Oh, Thunderstruck by AC/DC. I like the way it fades out at the end, and I'm hoping that all my family and friends are actually thunderstruck, and it'll be meaningful to them.
Oh, that's a great answer. Well, there's the question. What song do you want played at your funeral?
Auld Lang Syne.
Really?
Well, it's more than a New Year's song. It's about endings and beginnings and the impermanence of life.
Ah, and speaking of endings, we're coming up at the end of our time together today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Now, before you go, we have a little segment we like to play with everyone who stops by. It's called Battle Cards.
Okay.
Now, on each of these cards is written an adjective, and on each of these cards, there's a verb. So, like, on this card, there's the word green, and then on this card, there's the word ran. So then I provide a noun and make a sentence, like, the green man ran to the birthday party.
Okay.
So, is that maybe something you want to do?
Do I have to?
Well, no, but usually. Okay, sure. That's no problem.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming on. The president of New America, Mr. Winston Trace. Yes.
Thank you. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Mr. President.
No, the other door. The other door, right there. Okay. Yes. All right. Bye. How great was that? I got a couple stories out of him I haven't heard before. Kind of an exclusive. What?
Ha! We have about 3 minutes left.
Hey, how are those numbers?
There are people on Twitter listening to the show.
Well, they got anything to say?
Some people had questions, but he's gone now.
What were the questions?
You want me to read them?
Well, just a good one.
Mustard or ketchup?
Ooh, that is a good one. I'm a mustard man myself.
Ketchup.
Really?
Definitely. Ketchup every time.
Huh. You think you know someone.
I'm just as surprised by your mustard.
Well, Jimbo, mustard is a more elite condiment for our more sensitive and evolved palates.
I disagree.
Apparently.
Let's leave it at that.
Susie?
I don't use either.
Really? Not even mayo?
I don't like condiments.
Oh. Okay, how long we got?
1 minute.
Oh, that's close enough. Can we start the end roll now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have today, everybody. I'd like to thank our guest, Winston Trace, and I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Mini Helpers. Everyone wants to minimize their home environments, but what happens when you need a flathead screwdriver at 3 in the morning? Well, that's where Mini Helper comes in, granting you all the tools, equipment, books, etc. that don't spark joy, but you still may need to keep around. Check their website and use our promo code FINNYGUY33 to get a third off the price of a 1-year subscription. That's Mini Helpers. Thank you again to Susie, our beautiful Twatter girl, and Jimbo, our dude in the chair, for their work on this week's episode. And next week, it's my birthday, so there won't be a show, and we're going to run a repeat. And then the week after that, we'll have Ismali talking about her new film, and that's all from me, Trent Finnhues. Until next day, keep it healthy and sane, and keep on surviving until the next day. Adios, amigos! Yay!